prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. We have a really interesting show planned today. It's a little excursion from some of the traditional topics that we talk about in the realm of health, fitness, and longevity. However, there is evidence that some of the discussion that we're going to have today does play a role in those who love dogs and the benefits that they get from having dogs as companions. Before we get started with that, I have to remind everybody that All American EFX and their parent company, All American Pharmaceutical, make special grant contributions to superhumanradio.com in order to keep the show moving forward. You can show the love by going to the website superhumanradio.com and clicking one of the many All American EFX sports banner ads to learn more about their products. You know, for a very, very long time, we've called dog man and woman's best friend. And there's no doubt about it. We have a very, very symbiotic relationship with dogs, much more so than we see with any other animal. And maybe that's because we have worked so hard to domesticate them and actually affect their evolution and selection process. My next guest, my first guest today is Alicia Butner from the University of Nebraska. How you doing, Alicia?
I'm good. How are you?
Okay. And you just were involved in a very, very interesting study that may explain more about why dogs love us and we love dogs so much. There may be more to the story about how in sync we are with them. So let's talk about this research. What questions were you attempting to answer in this recent research?
Yeah, well, we know there's been a huge boom in research into dogs' ability to communicate with humans and how absolutely amazing they are at understanding what humans are trying to tell them and reading their facial expressions and maybe even demonstrating some empathy towards them, like dogs that can actually engage in contagious yawning. So when an owner yawns, a lot of times the dog yawns too. And so this kind of gets at that dogs are trying to coordinate their behavior with their humans, and that's adaptive for them so that they can, when they're sleeping, their humans are sleeping and the dogs are sleeping, and when they're active or aroused, so is the dog. So we were interested to see if there are physiological mechanisms involved in that and if they're also coordinated between the human and their dogs. So we thought it'd be really cool to look at this with dogs and humans that are competing in agility competitions. So this is when dogs are running through an obstacle course and the human's guiding them through, and it really relies on both the dog understanding the human's cue and the human giving the correct cue. So it's a really interesting way to assess that dyadic relationship between humans and dogs because they both need each other to do well on that task. So we wanted to observe these competitions in a very naturalistic way without really manipulating anything, and we were taking their hormones at several time points, mainly looking at before and after. Are there changes in particularly cortisol, because cortisol is a stress hormone. It's released when we're aroused, and competition is very arousing. So we wanted to see, are those levels coordinated between humans and their dogs? And then one other factor we wanted to look at with humans was their testosterone levels, because we know that from a previous study with humans competing in agility competitions with their dog, their baseline testosterone level predicted how they responded to the competition and to their dog and influenced their dog's cortisol levels.
Okay, so and then the there was an interesting mix of dogs and handlers here. But before we get into that, I'm just curious, are all the handlers also the owners of the dogs?
In most cases, yes. There were, I can only think of one where it was like a neighbor or somebody that wanted to run with the dog. But typically, yes, it's the owner.
Okay, okay. Because obviously there's a dynamic there when it is the owner versus just... Okay. So talk about the selection of the handlers, how they stacked up men, women, and also the fact that the women were mostly postmenopausal, right?
Yeah, it was. We really wanted to have a split sample of men and women, but when we got there, it is primarily women. We had 75% women partake in our study, and that was pretty representative of what it looked like when we were actually there. There were just very few men there. Of the women that we had, most of them were menopausal, so the median age, or sorry, the mean age of our participants was 51 years old. So when we're talking about hormones, both of those factors have a big influence on what we're going to see, particularly with testosterone, but also sometimes with cortisol, because menopausal women have typically, I think, higher testosterone, and as do men do, obviously. So those were factors that we didn't really foresee, but kind of made things a little
Also, women, postmenopausal women tend to have higher cortisol levels as well, as a result of estrogen has the ability to suppress the overreaction, if you will, of the adrenal glands. Mm-hmm. So I would imagine that they would have also an exaggerated cortisol response as well, but that remains to be seen, obviously. Okay, so
yeah.
So also the dogs, you know, it's very popular to spay and neuter dogs today. How many of the pooches had intact gonads and ovaries, and how many were spayed and neutered?
Yeah, the majority were spayed and neutered. So we had 58 handlers and dogs. So 7 males and 2 females were not nude or spayed or neutered or spayed. So yeah, that would also kind of play into what's going on with their hormones, because all of these hormones are interacting and influencing each other. So
yeah, because I would really love to see how this would play out with young men and women whose hormonal milieus are those of youth and haven't gone through menopause, or not on the older side of men whose estrogen starts to come up and testosterone starts to come down, but also dogs that are intact hormonally as well. I have to believe that there might be a different dynamic there. What do you think?
Yeah, I would definitely agree. There's not a whole lot of studies with dogs looking at the status of that, but in other animals, that especially lab animals, they have to take into consideration if it's been gonadectomized, they say, that's going to have a huge influence on all of their hormone levels. So unfortunately, I don't know a whole lot about with dogs exactly what's going on, but that's something we should definitely take into consideration. But these days, most dogs, unless they're, you know, being bred, they're going to have been spayed or neutered, which is a good thing. But how it's playing into how they're interacting with their human is interesting. I know male dogs that are not neutered are usually on the higher end of probability for being a biting dog when we're looking at the statistics of dogs that have bitten or are aggressive. So, you know, obviously testosterone is going to be playing a role in a lot of those.
But see, okay. So just from what you said, then what we're really doing here is we're not looking at dogs. We're looking at dogs that have been modified, if you will, to be better suited for human activity. I mean, I have to tell you, I owned dogs most of my life up until just lately, and I was always opposed to neutering a male dog from an evolutionary perspective. If it wasn't important that they have hormones like testosterone, and even and the male dogs, other things are produced in the gonads, I want to say progesterone and so on. You know, if it wasn't important for them to have them, then evolution would have fixed that by making them neutered on their own. So I've always been opposed to the whole neutering thing. You said it's a good thing. Why is it a good thing?
Well, yeah, from an evolutionary standpoint, you know, dogs want to reproduce and multiply and create more dogs. So from an evolutionary standpoint, it's great that they are so
intact.
Right. Yeah, but, you know, from an animal welfare issue, and especially we in our lab work a lot with dogs that are humane society, you know, pet overpopulation is a huge issue. So we didn't, you know, create the spay and neuter process to improve, you know, how our dogs are interacting with us, though, you know, it probably
it does play a role.
Effects,
yeah.
But, yeah, from the the pet overpopulation standpoint, it's a very important thing that we're.
Yeah, yeah, no, I know. I've heard Bob Barker drove that home when I was a young boy.
He's
a great guy. So now let's talk about. So you looked at testosterone and cortisol in both the humans and the animals?
Not testosterone in the dogs, and that was primarily because they'd been altered, and it just wasn't the primary interest. Because we were interested is the cortisol response coordinated between humans and dogs, but one thing that can alter that, especially that we know of in humans, is their baseline testosterone.
Gotcha. Okay. All right, so... you followed these dogs from, I want to say, June or July through November of 2013, is that right?
Well, we went to competitions through those months, and each day we would look at different dogs.
Okay. And so what did you find in the relationship between the cortisol response and the handlers?
With the dogs?
Yes, yes.
Yes, so we did see that when handlers had an increase in cortisol, so did their dogs. So that was really interesting because despite all the work that's been done and how human-animal interactions are influencing dogs and humans, we've never actually looked to see is there an association between species, and there was. So that was very interesting. So it suggests that there's some type of synchronization there. What was kind of confusing to us was that it wasn't related to their behavior. So we kind of expected that if they, particularly if they didn't perform well, the handlers would have an increase in cortisol that would affect their behavior towards the dog. So they would engage in more affiliative behavior like, petting and praising the dog.
Right.
If they perform
punitive,
poorly,
right.
they would engage
right.
in less affiliative and more punitive behavior,
right.
like pushing, reprimanding,
right.
and that would go back to influence
right.
the dogs.
Raising cortisol in the dogs. But you didn't see that. In fact, what you saw was that the dogs' cortisol levels went up even when they were performing well, right?
Well, we didn't really see any relationship at all with their performance and the dog's cortisol levels. It was all tied into the handler's cortisol levels. It didn't really matter a whole lot if the handler was engaging in affiliative or punitive behavior. So either we weren't quite looking at the subtlety of the behavior, like if it was in the way they were petting the dog or looking at the dog, the tone of voice they were using, or another possibility is it had nothing to do with behavior, but there are chemosensory signals that the
dogs
are picking up. And that's really interesting, especially because one of the other things we saw was that, in general, dogs that belong to male handlers had greater increases in cortisol. So why that happened and that wasn't seen in females is really interesting. It had nothing, again, to do with their behavior. So it's very possible that they're picking up on some type of cue that's emitted through possibly sweat or something else that the human's giving off, and the dog's picking that up, and it's influencing their physiology.
Well, it's clear that dogs pick up on very subtle visual cues from humans. I mean, I hunted with a dog for many years, and I can tell you that if I, just by the way I threw my head, he knew whether to go left or right.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about from 30, 40 yards away.
Mm-hmm.
So it's obvious that dogs can read visual cues from humans. And maybe when they work with them long enough, they recognize when the human is nervous about something.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, competition is very stressful, right? You're trying to win. This is a do-or-die situation. You've got to get it right. And so my bet would be that they're picking up on the handler's perception of the stressful event. And they're going, oh, my God, you know, he's really upset. He's worried about this. I need to be worried because I love him. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's like I should be aware, too. You know what I mean? So that would be my vote for sure.
Yes, I agree. I think, you know, we looked at very broad categories of behavior. So did the owner hug the dog, kiss the dog, pet the dog, give the dog a treat? But there are very subtle factors, like you were saying, and especially between each dog and its owner, there might be things that dog knows that owner does when he's upset or stressed
right.
or whatever it may be, and that's not something we could necessarily record. So there are, dogs are, you know, just as complex as humans in a lot of ways as far as their history and how they grew up, how they were trained, their relationship with their owner. So it's really hard to just say that this one factor is influencing everything when they all have individual histories.
And we're going to take a break, but when we come back, I want to start talking about the interplay and dynamics between male and female handler, male and female dog, if anything teased out from that area there. Right now, we're talking with Alicia Butner from University of Nebraska about a really interesting study that, you know, it doesn't surprise me that dogs are connected to us. And we are connected to our dogs. And there is going to be more to this story as more research is done. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Have you tried Carbolin yet?
It's what the pros use. At EFX Sports, we know athletes and we know what it takes to safely fuel their performance. That's why we created Carbolin, the ultimate formulated-to-win carbohydrate drink. Whether you want to quickly carb load before a big competition or you want to recover faster after a workout, Carbolin is the answer. Carbolin is sugar-free, gluten-free, and caffeine-free. Best of all, you can try Carbolin right now absolutely free. Just head over to GetCarbolin.com and sign up to receive a free sample of this amazing carbohydrate formula. Once again, that's GetCarbolin.com. GetCarbolin.com.
Imagine if there was an organic, raw, extra virgin olive oil made from one-of-a-kind olives found in Sicily. And wouldn't it be amazing if the producer cared so much about the quality that they tested every batch for the important things that should be present in olive oil? Well, now there is. It's Papa Vince. For a limited time, you can get two bottles of Papa Vince 100% imported from Italy, organic, raw, EVOO, for $39. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the link and call recommends. Taste and feel the difference. Papa Vince since 1935.
For the best in real-world, no-nonsense, result-producing, and effective strength training, muscle-building, and physical culture information, read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to brookscubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer ebooks, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to brookscubic.com right now.
Everyone knows the importance of optimal vitamin D levels for health. Every week, a new study is released showing the linkage to disease from low levels of vitamin D. But throughout evolution, we have never gotten the massive amounts of vitamin D in our diet that we get today. This is why oral vitamin D is associated with toxicity and the risk of calcification of organs. Vitamin D is naturally synthesized in the skin, but dermatologists tell us to stay out of the sun for fear of skin damage. Now you can take your vitamin D the way nature intended it with Primal D. Primal D delivers a topical dose of vitamin D into the skin where it belongs. Topically applied vitamin D does not carry the risks associated with oral vitamin D. And a single bottle of Primal D should last you a year. For less than 19 cents a day, you could be taking the world's best vitamin D supplement. Go to PRIMAL-D.com to learn more. Oh, and you don't have to wait to run out of your current vitamin D to order Primal D. You can just throw it away because it just became obsolete. Primal-D.com. Vitamin D delivery the way nature intended.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach,
lead.
The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. Ketocana is the first ketone powder that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of Ketocana and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ketocana banner ad today.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Out here in the perimeter, there are no stars. Out here, we is stoned, immaculate.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Today's show is dedicated to Fido and Fidette, your lovely dogs that you love to love, and they love you back, and we take it for granted. And there is a bigger connection, a stronger connection between humans and canines and I believe any other animal that we have chosen to domesticate, clearly more than cats. Cats could care less. But interestingly enough, one of the things that I read in your paper that I did not know is that we have been domesticating dogs between 18 and 32,000 years now. Is that correct?
Yeah, you know, there's some debate around exactly how long that's been going on, and there's different techniques from fossils and using genetics, but some of the more recent studies are saying somewhere in that range we domesticated dogs, probably in the Middle East or Asia, I think they're saying. So it's been a long history of how we've selected for them and then going on to select for certain breeds and certain characteristics that we want from them.
Well, you know, there was a study done not too long ago that I read. We did not talk about it on the show, but I remember reading it. I want to say it was just a few months ago about the oxytocin response between humans and dogs, that they when we are affectionate with our dogs, we see a rise in oxytocin in ourselves, and dogs see a rise in oxytocin as well.
Yeah, that's one of the hotter topics right now, is looking at how oxytocin is playing a role in human-dog interactions, because oxytocin is involved in a lot of maternal behavior.
Right.
So not only giving birth and then afterwards with suckling of the baby and bonding between mother and the baby, and we see kind of that same relationship with humans and their dogs. So I think the most recent study that came out probably last week in Science was really interesting, where they found that when dogs looked at humans, both dogs and humans had increases in oxytocin, and then they also gave dogs oxytocin, and that increased how much they looked at humans. So there's an interesting relationship going on there that is very reminiscent of what we see with humans and their babies.
Pretty cool. And you know what I was shocked by? I know that there are cultures out there, and then we'll get back to the study. I know that there are cultures out there that we, especially Americans, you know, that we just feel are such heinous cultures because they choose to eat dogs. But one of the things that I learned, because I've been doing a lot of research into this area, just my inquisitiveness about the real story behind Native Americans, is that until the buffalo, Native Americans, the go-to food for them were dogs.
Oh, that's interesting.
I know. And buffalo kind of set the dogs free, so to speak, and made them made them more, you know, friend than food. So pretty interesting, because we always look to the Native Americans for being spiritual and you know, and connected to the land and all that sort of stuff. But then when you find out, hey, their favorite food was dog, it's like, wait a minute. Maybe we were wrong about these guys. You know?
Yeah, it is interesting. I don't know a whole lot about, you know, the different cultural perceptions of dogs, but it is interesting how, you know, in our culture there are babies and in other cultures there is food.
Yeah.
But
yeah. So let's talk about the different, how things worked out with male and female human, male and female dog. Were there any interesting phenomenon there, any interesting situations that were seen over and over again when a particular gender human and a particular gender dog interacted in the competition?
Well, and we only had a limited number of males, so that's something we have to keep in mind. Men, I should say,
yes,
male handlers.
Yeah.
But I mentioned earlier we did see that dogs that belong to men, they had greater increases in cortisol than dogs that belong to women. So if they belong to female handlers, they stayed pretty steady before and after they competed, whereas if they belong to a male, we see kind of a spike. And that was really interesting because we did look at exactly how men and women were actually interacting with their dogs, and we didn't see any behavioral differences. So it's not that women were just more loving and were petting their dogs more. And we didn't see, you know, men performed better or worse than female handlers. So it's really not clear as far as if there was something going on that the male handler was giving off that the female wasn't. It's definitely possible, again, that there's some kind of type of chemosensory signal that's going on there that might be, I don't know, more stressful for a dog.
Well, I thought about it, right? Obviously, testosterone mm-hmm. plays a role. Testosterone mm-hmm. is also a pheromone. You can smell testosterone, whether or not you recognize and go, oh, that's testosterone. Your body does pick it up. So it's obvious that testosterone is the hormone of dominance and aggression.
Mm-hmm.
And so the dogs may have just, this is just one postulation. The dogs could have just perceived the potential threat of making a mistake to a greater gravity because it was a male handler. That's obviously one.
Mm-hmm.
You saw this in male as well as male handler, female dog as well?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand.
Did you see this same relationship between male handlers and cortisol in dogs with a male handler, male dog, as well as a male handler, female dog?
You know, that is interesting. I did not break it up into pairs that way, but that would be very interesting because in that context, being a stressful context and being with a male handler and having increased testosterone, it would be interesting to see if that was more present in males.
Well,
in general, we did not see a difference between male dogs' cortisol responses and their dogs. I didn't report if there's an interaction there between the male handler and the male dog, but
Okay, so what I was thinking was even though these dogs were neutered, the male
mm-hmm.
dogs, their
mm-hmm.
their brains did have the influence of testosterone in its development at some point in time.
Yeah.
And male dogs are, you know, we always talk about alpha males and all that sort of stuff. And so I would think that a male dog would have a much harder time giving in to orders, if you will, you know, direction forced. There's a slight bit more resistance to fall in line than from a female dog. Now, I could be wrong. I mean, I don't know anything about this. I'm just guessing here that maybe a male dog's cortisol level would go up higher because not only does he perceive the stress of the event, but also it is counterintuitive for him to just do what someone else wants him to do because of the whole alpha male phenomenon. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure how to answer that because I don't really know if there's a lot of differences between male and female dogs as far as training and how obedient they are. I definitely think the handler's hormones might have something to do with how they're responding to it. Having been neutered is going to play a role in it, especially
yeah.
if they're neutered at a very young age because that would affect brain development and things like that.
Well, and I want to talk. We have to take a break, but what I want to talk about when we come back is exactly that. When a woman loses her hormones, and when a man loses his hormones, the different types of neuroses that potentially develop are dramatically different for men as they are for women. And so, let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. We're talking with Alicia Butner. We're talking about cortisol levels in dogs and the relationship of these dogs with their handlers, showing a greater connection between humans and dogs than perhaps what some people realize. We're going to talk about this when we come back. Stay tuned.
Oh, today's day and age, it's refreshing to find a company with values that match yours. And it's even more extraordinary when the products they make exceed your expectation in every way. That's what Michael's Naturopathic Programs has done for over 30 years. With more than 50 tried and truthful high-potency formulas, Michael's Naturopathic Programs give your body what it needs. No more guessing what herb or vitamin, amino acid, or mineral you need. With Michael's, it's all in one bottle. From cardiovascular support to weight management to nervous system support to detox and cleansing and more, Michael's Naturopathic Programs work. They have to. Michael himself has been giving it to his own family from the very start. You can find Michael's product at your local health food store or go to michaelshealth.com and get your tried and truthful formulation. That's michaelshealth.com.
Have you tried Carbaline yet? It's what the pros use. At EFX Sports, we know athletes and we know what it takes to safely fuel their performance. That's why we created Carbaline, the ultimate formulated to win carbohydrate drink. Whether you want to quickly carb load before a big competition or you want to recover faster after a workout, Carbaline is the answer. Carbaline is sugar-free, gluten-free, and caffeine-free. Best of all, you can try Carbaline right now absolutely free. Just head over to GetCarbaline.com and sign up to receive a free sample of this amazing carbohydrate formula. Once again, that's GetCarbaline.com. GetCarbaline.com.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
If you take curcumin, you need to pay attention. The best curcumin on earth is metacurcumin. Metacurcumin is up to 277 times more bioavailable and absorbs over 6 times faster than standard curcumin supplements. Metacurcumin even outperforms those supposedly high-performance curcumin products. There's only one metacurcumin by Rev Genetics. You could save 20% off metacurcumin by clicking the banner ad at superhumanradio.com and use superhuman curcumin at checkout. If you want to help stop inflammation in its tracks, you need metacurcumin by Rev Genetics today.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
New from the makers of Mass Pro Synthogen, Progenidrex is finally available to everyone. Refined for years in elite athletes, it's the absolute pinnacle of products specifically designed to accelerate drug-free muscle growth without hormones. Using Progenidrex as directed, results in dramatic increases in muscle size, pumps, and recovery from heavy training. Won't disrupt endocrine function and no need to cycle off. Visit PredatorNutrition.com and Fusion Supplements for the absolute last word in non-hormonal anabolics. Progenidrex.
The 1-2 punch for muscle growth is increased pump and increased intensity. Research shows metabolic changes occur that yield bigger, stronger muscles. Harness the power of agmatine plus carnosine beta-alanine to give your workout the intensity, pump, and metabolic changes that you'll not only feel, but be able to see. Go to superhumanradio.com and use the coupon code SHR to get Prime Nutrition's Ultimate Stack and save 30% off. That's a savings of over $12. Get the most out of your next training session with Prime Nutrition's Nitric Oxide Plus Intensity Stack. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Alicia Buttner. We're talking about the connection between humans and dogs. You know, there was a video that circulated on the internet a few years ago that really just broke my heart. It was a picture of it was a video of a German Shepherd literally wailing like a human, crying and wailing like a human being at the foot of its master's tombstone. I remember it very, very well. I don't know if you saw this, but it was so unnerving to me because the dog was in such pain that the master had just passed away like weeks before. The dog knew that this plot of land and this marble headstone occupied the same ground as his master of 15 years. I mean, first of all, I was astonished that the dog knew, made the connection. But more so, the way the dog wailed in pain, it was just so sad. And it just goes to show the connection between dogs and humans is just amazing to me. Have you seen that video, Alicia?
I haven't seen that one, but every once in a while in the news, you'll see a story pop up about a dog that, I think one I saw recently was like a homeless woman that fed a dog, and after she died, the dog kept going into the church or wherever it was. So it is interesting, but I think it really goes into that really intense relationship they form with humans and viewing them as their caregivers, and that there must be some type of signal, you know, chemosensory cue again or something they're picking up to be able to follow this person even after they're deceased to wherever they end up. But it is really amazing, and it just shows you how their world really revolves around humans.
Yeah, it's really amazing.
That attachment is.
So let's talk about, so what are the things that we've learned from the draconian method of treating prostate cancer, which is androgen deprivation therapy, where a man is diagnosed with prostate cancer, whether it's aggressive or not, if his physician decides to go after this ADT, androgen deprivation therapy, where they actually use long-acting gonadotropin-releasing hormones to completely exhaust the production of luteinizing hormone. And what happens is after about 2 or 3 weeks on this therapy, the man's testosterone goes down to that of a prepubescent girl, no testosterone. And these men get horribly sick, not only physically, but emotionally and mentally. And quite a few of them end up on psychoactive drugs because they actually become paranoid. Many of them become paranoid schizophrenics during the therapy. They think everybody's after them, everybody's trying to hurt them, and so on and so forth. And it's because the cellular makeup of the brain is so dependent on the influences of testosterone in men. Women don't have this. Don't get me wrong, women have testosterone, but it's not to this degree where there is actually what's known as a testosterone dominant brain. And I wonder sometimes if females that are ovariectomized versus dogs that are castrated or gonadoectomized, I wonder if there are distinct differences post this type of process in the way they learn and the way they react to things.
Yeah, I'm not very familiar with any work on that. You would definitely think there is something going on there. But I think, you know, over domestication, we've really selected for certain traits in animals, and especially in dogs. And I don't think there's a huge influence of being altered on how they're actually engaging
uh-huh.
with humans.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't know of a whole lot of work at this point that's actually compared, altered and unaltered dogs. And I think a lot of that is the issue of we don't necessarily want to discourage people.
I understand.
Neutering their dogs.
Yeah. Okay, so getting back to the research at hand, so was there anything about this study that jumped out at you that was really surprising?
A lot of it. A lot of our predictions weren't quite there, so we talked a little bit about the handler's behavior not really influencing the dog's cortisol. One other thing that was really interesting was the handler's response. So we actually found, we predicted that if a handler had increased cortisol, probably because they didn't perform well, they would take that out on their dog, so they might engage in less affiliative behavior and more punitive behavior. We actually saw no relationship with punitive behavior, but when they had higher cortisol, they actually were engaging in more affiliative behavior with their dogs. And that's interesting because we have a primarily female sample. And there's this hypothesis or theory out there called the tend and befriend hypothesis, which states that with females in general, it doesn't have to be a human, when we experience a stress response, we don't necessarily engage in fight or flight. It might be more adaptive for females in general,
right,
to tend to their offspring and befriend other humans. So what could be going on in this situation is, especially these females are having a stress response, so they're engaging more with their dogs, and that's actually going to circle back around and kind of alleviate some of their stress.
What type of breeds are we talking about in these particular dogs? Were they working class dogs? Were they toy dogs? Were they what kind of dogs were they?
Yeah, there's various breeds, but we definitely see a lot of herding breeds like border collies and Australian Shepherds and Shetland Sheepdogs. But there's a whole range of dogs you wouldn't necessarily expect. I think we had a dachshund in there, so it's a range of dogs, but definitely
any of the terriers, because terriers were bred for a variety of different hunting tasks. Any of the terriers in there?
I think we have a few terriers. Yeah.
Do they tend to be a little bit more skittish, if you will, and because they are bred for hunting, they do have that the genetic makeup to be a little bit more aggressive. Did you see anything different about terriers than you saw of the other breeds, or it was pretty much the same?
We didn't look too closely between breeds because we didn't have enough to really compare. But these dogs are all so well trained that I don't think we would see a whole lot. If they weren't good at agility, they probably wouldn't be competing in it.
Yeah.
So a lot of these dogs, they're not pet dogs. They're so well trained that they have very very good manners. They're not going to just run off and chase something most of the time. So they definitely just rely on their human for their cues and a lot more human than dog sometimes.
Yeah, right. Got it. Okay. All right. We're going to take our last commercial break. And when we come back, what I'd like to know is what you hope both people and clinicians take away from this most recent research. We're talking right now with Alicia Butner. We're talking about the connection between dog and human. It's a wonderful thing. And we know that they now take dogs into nursing homes. Elderly people get a lot out of being around dogs, hugging them, petting them, and the dogs get a lot out of it as well, I'm sure. We're going to take a quick commercial break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. CanSee Eye Drops. The name says it all.
You have a federal student loan? Did you know that the federal government has allotted millions of dollars to reduce or forgive your student loan debt? Are you getting your share of these federal forgiveness program dollars? If you answer no, then you need to call 866-539-2755 right now. FedAidAdvisors.com will qualify you right over the phone for free. One free phone call and FedAidAdvisors.com guarantees to reduce your payments, eliminate interest for the first 3 years, and even wipe your loan debt clean for those who qualify. The call is free to find out if you qualify. Call 866-539-2755 right now. That's 866-539-2755. 539-2755.
Have you tried Carbaline yet? It's what the pros use. At EFX Sports, we know athletes and we know what it takes to safely fuel their performance. That's why we created Carbaline, the ultimate formulated to win carbohydrate drink. Whether you want to quickly carb load before a big competition or you want to recover faster after a workout, Carvelin is the answer. Carvelin is sugar-free, gluten-free, and caffeine-free. Best of all, you can try Carvelin right now absolutely free. Just head over to GetCarvelin.com and sign up to receive a free sample of this amazing carbohydrate formula. Once again, that's GetCarvelin.com. GetCarvelin.com.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. It's a little bit of a different discussion today, but it does make an important point here. Those of you who have dogs know that that dog is as much part of the family as any other family member. And there's good reason for that, because dogs love us and we love them back and they understand us. They read those nonverbal cues. You're having a bad day. Dog comes over and puts his head in your lap. You take it for granted. He knows. They know. And so there's more going on. There's more connection. Just the way the connection between humans who care for each other is bonding. There's that bond between dog and human as well. So what do you hope that that people take away from your most recent research?
Well, I think this is a really good demonstration of just how perceptive dogs are to, and I say stress, but, you know, it's not necessarily a negative term in this study, because we didn't necessarily look at, anxiety and the negative connotation of stress, but that what is going on within us is influencing our dogs, and not necessarily in very observable ways. So it might be very subtle things that they're picking up on, our facial expressions, how we're touching them, how we're speaking to them. Those are all things that might be explaining this relationship, and we really need to think about how we're interacting with our dogs and try not to influence them, because everybody knows that chronic elevations of stress is really bad for our health, and who knows exactly what dogs are picking up on from us in our lives. So definitely just being aware of our stress and how we're interacting with their dogs, and engaging lots of positive petting and things like that are both good for you and your dog by increasing our oxytocin levels and decreasing our cortisol levels. So interact with your dog in positive ways and take advantage of the health benefits of that.
Are there any indications that, whether intact or not, female dogs do better with male owners and male dogs do better with female owners?
I am not aware of that. I'm not aware of a whole lot of studies where we're, looking at how maybe when they were altered or whether or not they're altered is influencing how they're interacting with humans. But it's an interesting question, and it would really demonstrate, if there's not a whole lot going on there, just how much we've selected for these traits that are really not influenced by their hormonal states in that sense.
What really are the the key traits that we have selected for in pets? Obviously, friendliness, right? We don't want dogs that bite us, and that's really given a couple breeds a black eye, so to speak. What else? Shedding, I got to believe, is another one, right? We don't want dogs that shed.
Yeah, there are definitely physical characteristics. In the beginning when we domesticated dogs, the idea is that it really went down to just selecting for tamer animals and animals that were less fearful and aggressive. And by doing that, we selected for an animal with a down-regulated hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis, which is what produces cortisol. And so they became less fearful of humans. And really that alone has a lot to do with how they are with humans. And how accepting they are. But there are definitely specific traits, and you see that between breeds, you know, selecting for maybe a more aggressive breed that would be more of a guard dog. And but, you know, in general, we see that we've just, by altering that one system, that's led to just downstream changes all along the spectrum from their physical appearance, like having a curled up tails a little bit, and their coloring, to their actual behavior towards humans. It all has to do with that initial selection process.
Do you own a dog?
Yes, I own two, and I foster rescue dogs.
What kind of dogs are they?
I have a Dachshund and a Sheltie.
Oh, Sheltie's a cute little dog.
Yeah, she's high energy.
Do they shed?
Yes, like crazy.
Yeah. See, I had the last dog I owned, well, the last dog that I personally chose to own, because I've inherited dogs in marriages that weren't my first choice of dog. But I'm not a big toy dog kind of person. I like a dog. I mean, I don't need a Mastiff. I don't need anything that big. But I have fallen in love with a breed that you may be familiar with. It's called a Hungarian Vizsla. Yeah, they're beautiful dogs. Very, very short hair. They don't really shed. And very, very smart dogs. But but because they're working dogs, they're descendants of the St. Hubertus Brockenhound, which is a bloodhound. Because they're working dogs, they have a lot of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And so they don't make a good house pet unless you take them out frequently and allow them to literally run themselves into the ground.
Yeah.
When I used to hunt, I was 19 years old when I bought my first dog, the dog that I chose to own. And I did a lot of research into the breed. I wanted a dog that I could hunt with. So I chose, the Hungarian Vizsla. And I even chose a special name. I named him Theron, which in Greek mythology, Theron, was a man who went into the woods to hunt one day, came back, and the village was massacred. All the men were killed. So he had to hone his hunting skills so that he could feed an entire village. And I figured, well, I'm getting a hunting dog. I plan on hunting with them. This is going to be a good name. And so Theron and I, we spent all our time together because I was 19 years old, and he would run with me, and I would take, and when I would take him hunting, there was nothing more magical than the connection between that dog and myself as we work towards a common goal. I hunted deer with him. So the Vizsla is called a fur and feather dog. You can hunt all types of animals with them. So I would hunt pheasant and quail. I would hunt rabbit with him. I even hunted deer with him one year, and he was amazing. But there was nothing. People own dogs and love their dogs. So don't get me wrong. I'm not downplaying that. But there is nothing in the world like working with a dog to a common goal where, and I don't mean with a leash and run. I mean, the dog is 150 yards away and you're using whistle signals to tell him where you are. And all of a sudden you see him chasing a deer towards you. He knows what he's doing. It's amazing. So,
yeah, it is. I mean, if you think of all the roles dogs have in our society these days, it's amazing how much they're capable of in detecting cancer.
They're so smart. My lifestyle isn't conducive to me having a dog right now, but there are times where I think to myself, gee, I wish I had a dog again.
Yeah, But that's a responsible decision.
Yes. It's like I wouldn't have a child right now either. So that's how I mean, you know, having a dog is like having a child. I mean, you can't, you know, that's the problem. People get dogs and then they get tired of them in a couple months. And it's like, no. This is, you need to carry that egg around like in home ec class, you know, for 3 months and not break it. And then if you can do that, you're ready for a dog.
Yes, I totally agree.
So, all right. Listen, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thanks for having me. It's great talking to you.
Take care. All right, so there you have it. Your dog and you are connected. It's not your imagination. We're going to take a quick commercial break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use Aura MD. Aura MD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to oral health problems. It does not contain fluoride, detergents, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good people will comment about it. Right now, you can get a buy one, get one free of Aura MD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Aura MD banner ad. I won't ever use anything else but Aura MD, and neither should you.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
New from the makers of Mass Pro Synthogen, Progenidrex. It's finally available to everyone. Refined for years in elite athletes, it's the absolute pinnacle of products specifically designed to accelerate drug-free muscle growth without hormones. Using Progenidrex as directed results in dramatic increases in muscle size, pumps, and recovery from heavy training. Won't disrupt endocrine function and no need to cycle off. Visit PredatorNutrition.com and Fusion Supplements for the absolute last word in non-hormonal anabolics. Progenidrex.
If you take curcumin, you need to pay attention. The best curcumin on earth is metacurcumin. Metacurcumin is up to 277 times more bioavailable and absorbs over 6 times faster than standard curcumin supplements. Metacurcumin even outperforms those supposedly high-performance curcumin products. There's only one metacurcumin by Rev Genetics. You could save 20% off metacurcumin by clicking the banner ad at superhumanradio.com and use superhuman curcumin at checkout. If you want to help stop inflammation in its tracks, you need Metacurcumin by Rev Genetics today.
The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. Ketocana is the first ketone powder that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of Ketocana and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Keto Cana banner ad today.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Actually, that's all I got. Maybe that and get a dog. But we do have great shows planned for the rest of the week, I'll tell you that. If you've signed up for the newsletter, you've probably gotten an email with the rest of the week's schedule of shows. And if you have not done that, I'll tell you what they are right now. So we start off the day tomorrow with the Blueprint Power Hour, of course. And then we're going to talk about the Redox Theory of Aging. This is going to be a fun one. Of course, Science for Humans, Wednesday morning. And then we're going to be talking about bacon, chicken, or a smoothie. Which is the best protein choice, especially for physical performance? But more importantly, what is the most satiating, the most satisfying? This Thursday, we have Physical Culture Radio at noon. And then we're going to be talking about Weight Loss Made Simple. This is going to be a 101 show, a primer, for those of you who are still struggling with getting it right. Friday, we're off the air because it's Derby weekend here in Louisville, Kentucky, and Elisa and I have plans to maybe get out of town and do some fun stuff. So we'll be off the air Friday, and then we come back on Monday and start all over again. So we will see you tomorrow. Thank you for listening today, starting off with the Blueprint Power Hour and then the Redox Theory of Aging. Thank you for listening to Superhuman Radio, and see you tomorrow.